Rebound from the loss to Virginia. That's next. This is Sports Hour.
Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Middleton's got it at the top of the arc for the Bucks. He'll feed it to the right wing where Giannis has it, gives to Allen. Allen uncorks the three, and he knocks one down from the right side.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Here's a pass across the court. Jay Crowder unloads. His three-pointer will squash any thoughts the Bucks might have as he drills it from the right side. 31-107, the Suns will dribble this one to the finish line. Well, tough one here on the road for Milwaukee to cap off an otherwise successful road trip, but this one ends with a thud.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
All right, I don't want to make too much of this game because Phoenix Suns made a deal as well. They shipped away Jalen Smith. What's so funny? For Torrey Craig. So it's not as though the Suns didn't go through any changes. But the Bucks made a much bigger deal. Not that it was a huge deal, but it's a weird day. And Bud talked about this before the game where, you know, you send away guys that had been so great for you. Guy, really, that had been so great for you. You say goodbye to players, and now you got to move forward and get on with the business end here. So there's that. I mean, again, this is a regular season game, and it's easy to hype it and say, hey, it's a finals rematch. This was not a finals rematch. There was some intensity early. It dissipated about midway through. 4:21 mark in the second quarter is when the Bucks led for the final time in this game, and then the Suns just dominated. The Suns have been incredible this season. It really reminds you of what the Bucks did regular season-wise 2 years ago when they were on a pace to win 70 games, and they were just destroying teams, were the Bucks. The Suns now 45-10 on the season. That year that we referenced, the 55-game mark for the Bucks. Greg, would you care to guess how many wins they were at that point? So the Suns are 45-10. 55 games in the 2019-20 season.
Oh, man. The Suns are how many?
Suns are 45-10.
Oh, so the Bucks had to be at this point. They had to have eclipsed 50.
Well, 55 games. You think?
I'm sorry. 55. I mean, so 59.
Wait. What? No.
What are you asking?
The Suns are 45-10. They've played 55 games. 55 games in that season for the Bucks.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
How many wins did they have?
Oh, man.
It's late. I'll give you a break.
I'm sorry. No. I just missed. There was one key piece that I was missing. I think I'll 44?
47-8.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is basically what the Bucks were doing. And again, I said on Bucks Shootaround, I don't want to be the wet blanket here. It usually doesn't work out. When you're the regular season team that's dominant, we saw it 2 years ago. The Utah Jazz have seen it. The Denver Nuggets have seen it. It usually doesn't work out when you're playing. But nonetheless, it's a good win for Phoenix. They've been dominant all season long. They were really impressive tonight, I thought, that they had so many answers for the Bucks early, and they responded. It was a really good regular season win for this team. I guess it was a discouraging win. I choose to look at the other end of it, or discouraging loss. I choose to look at the other end of it, where Coach Budenholzer basically said, yeah, I mean, we're kind of disappointed, but we, up until the 4:21 mark of the second quarter, we looked pretty good on this road trip, where we did a lot of nice things. And that was his takeaway from this four-game road trip. We said, coming in, you cannot go 1-3. Absolutely not.
Right.
Really, you should not go 2-2. 3-1 is what you're shooting for on this road trip. If you go 4-0, even better. And they gave us 3-1. If you win these three games that you have, that'll put you at 6-1 going into 7-1 going into the All-Star break in the month of February. And if you go 2-1, you go 6-2 going into the break. They were 6-1 going into the All-Star break last year. So that's where we sit. But again, it's tough to take anything away from this game, whether it be in the regular season, with it coming on the day of trade deadline day. Man, if only trade deadline day was yesterday, or maybe Serge Ibaka is available and you don't have to rely on Drew Holiday and Wesley Matthews to be the defender on DeAndre Ayton for extended periods of this game. But nonetheless, just a tough takeaway type of performance. What do you really pull from this matchup? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. And I say that because the real takeaway here is it's nervousness.
Elaborate.
Because it always seems to happen this way. You deal from a position of strength, and then you suffer an injury at that position. So earlier in the day, we said goodbye to our friend Dante DiVincenzo, and a couple of hours later, Pat Connaughton, who becomes even more important now with Dante DiVincenzo out of the mix, Pat Connaughton goes down to an injury. So the latest on the Pat Connaughton injury, we can do some reckless speculation and look at the Google doctor to see how long, theoretically, will Pat Connaughton be out. And what does that mean for this team that now has two open roster spots as well that they have to fill in the next 2 weeks? 855-616-1620, the number for all the night owls that are still up here. Late Night Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. More after this on the show.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He feeds down the court to Portis, who's going to lay it in on the other side with transition points. Up and down the court we go. Bucks 23, Suns 21. We got a whistle and a foul going against Earl Monroe. Monroe.
All right, the Bucks fall short in Phoenix to the Suns. I don't know how to even put it, Greg. The disappointment in my voice is because of the injury suffered to Pat Connaughton. It's a broken fourth metacarpal. Was it fourth or third?
I heard Bud say fourth.
So
I feel like you start at the thumb.
Well, I was going to say, is your awake. Thumb your, the first? Because the metacarpal, this is great radio, by the way, to both be looking at our hands, but it's the bone on the like flat side of your hand.
It's
isn't
on
it?
The ring finger, so that yeah, okay. is what it would be. It's basically the knuckle or the bone under like the main knuckle.
Yeah. So, looking through the old Google and seeing if I break my metacarpal, how long does that take to recover from? It varies. It seems like if you want to be conservative, it's 6 weeks, which would basically put Pat Connaughton out until April-ish. Just to play it safe, I would imagine the best case scenario for Pat Connaughton, maybe late March he's back, but probably April. I mean, look, the good news is this injury happened in February and not March or April, because then it's, you know, we talked about this on the network postgame show. Look at the Eastern Conference standings and look at what the potential playoff matchups are. What if you do play the 76ers in the first round and you don't have a Pat Connaughton? But it seems like this is a 4 to 6 or a 6 to 8 week injury. Now, this is kind of a dated list, but In Street Clothes, which is a great Twitter account, by the way, they have this list is a couple of years old, but they compiled a list of players that have fractured the fourth metacarpal.
Really? Okay.
And so again, it's not entirely up to date, but just looking at a couple of years ago, they had 22 players listed here, and about a third of them required surgery. which is the other component. We don't know if Pat Connaughton's going to need surgery here on this injury or not. But yeah, about a third of them required surgery, and it looks like the average amount of games missed, which is kind of a tough barometer when we really need to know weeks, because this spans over a couple of seasons when scheduling format was different. I mean, even look at the stretch the Bucks have right now, where you get 3 days off and then you get 8 days off. Maybe it's coming at a good time where you have 11 off days here with three games there over a stretch of 2 weeks. But it's around 18 games is the average amount of missed time to this injury. The Bucks right now, with 18 missed games, if that's the average that we're looking at, we talked about how ridiculous the standings are in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you're looking at around 20 in the second half of the season, post All-Star break, you're looking at around 26 games left, I believe. They've played 57 right now. So you'll be at 60, so 22 games. It's going to be close to the end of the season, in all likelihood, for Pat Connaughton. Did this have to happen today?
So that's where most of this...
Also, I think this is probably what you were getting at.
I was going to ask, this is where most of this kind of down attitude about this game is coming, right? It's not about the actual game, it's more...
What if this injury happened on Tuesday?
Against a blowout against the Lakers?
Before the trade deadline.
Oh, that's what you mean. Do they make the move?
Probably, but it might make you pause. Like, could we interest you in...
Pat Connaughton.
Could we interest you in Jordan Wara? And maybe we can try to finagle something else here. What do you think? We said before the game, well, I mean, think about the backcourt and the wing positions where you got Drew, you got George, and by the way, I don't know how that sounds. You got Drew, you got George, you got Chris, you got Wesley Matthews, and you got Pat Connaughton, you got Dante DiVincenzo. Six guys right there, and it's really four that are going to get some heavy minutes when you split up everything. Grayson Allen, I didn't even mention. So seven guys right there. And now Dante's gone. George Hill, by the way, we got to get into that. George Hill is still on the shelf. Now Dante is out. So now you all of a sudden go to Chris, Drew, Wes, and Grayson Allen. Let's go get them, guys. That's the difficult part of tonight. It's not so much losing in the regular season, because I think we've all kind of moved past the regular season at this point. Like, would I like to see the Bucks not be sitting at 35-22, but wouldn't it be great if they were, I don't know, 38-19? Sure. 39-18, 40-17? Yeah, absolutely. But it's also the regular season. Like, just don't finish sixth. Don't finish seventh, especially, is what I'm most concerned with. But what are we going to see in the second half, not only injury-wise? And I do want to get back to the George Hill thing. But today's moves really makes you reevaluate the conference and say, at what point do we start to see, I mean, you see it every year, but similar to what you see in the NFL, at what point do we start to see some gamesmanship here of, maybe it's not so bad if we lose our final three games to close the season and we slide down to this line. What would the standings or what would the matchups be if the season were to end today? And where's the ideal spot for the Bucks under those scenarios? We'll get into it after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Ball's got it now in his mitts. He has the ball knocked away by Holiday. It's going to be picked up on the ground by Monroe. He gives it back to Holiday. Holiday takes off the other way. He'll take it to the cup and lay it in. And with that, you're going to see Monty Williams call for a timeout.
All right, the Phoenix Suns are really good. Spoiler alert, right? But the time to be concerned with individual game losses mid-March. Like, you're going to see, and we saw it for the first 20 minutes of tonight's game, you're going to see increased intensity in March and obviously in April. We think April, but although it could be the final week or so, could be interesting as teams continue to kind of jockey for position in the conference. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Suns look very impressive. This text from Doug. Team to beat. They can beat the Bucks at their own game. They also look hungrier than the Bucks, which makes sense. Let's head back out to the phone lines and talk with our friend Dick in Port Washington. You're up, Dick. What's going on?
Hey, you know, it's disappointing that Connaughton had the injury, but you know what? We're still better than we were last year. We had Hill versus Augustine. Hill's going to be better. You know, we got Grayson Allen versus DeVincenzo. I think we got the better guy. I think Horace has got to go out and get another shooter. And San Antonio, I think, is going to release the guy.
Dragic.
I can never say his name, Dvorak. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And if you could get him, we're still better than last year. And the best record regular season, I know I called in one other night about this, it's gotten to the point that who cares? You right. just want to be in the top three or four and then play from there. I mean, here's a prediction, and write this down. I think Phoenix is going to lose either in the first or the second round in the West. You play, I mean, they've got a chip on their shoulders because they lost to us, but that's not going to make diddly squat when you get to the playoffs. What do you think?
I don't think they're going to lose in the first round, but their second round matchup would be, as of right now, either the Jazz or the Mavericks, which, I mean, look, Luka Doncic, we saw how he single-handedly almost beat the Clippers in the opening round last year. The Jazz are still a team that it's kind of similar to the Bucks with, we did this year after year, and we're really good in the regular season. It just doesn't work, so we got to play a little differently. We've seen them make a couple of moves, but they're another team to keep an eye on for buyout guys. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Phoenix isn't in the NBA Finals just because, again, look at the last few years. The teams that dominate in the regular season, it's almost become a bad thing, to your point, that you kind of hit your peak too early. The Bucks did it 2 years ago. We've seen a handful of teams do this in regular seasons here. The Jazz have done it before, and that's what the Suns are doing now at 45-10.
Yeah.
That's basically where the Bucks were 2 years ago. They were 47-8, 55 games into the season.
Yeah. And I've got one other point, if you let me talk. Can I? Okay. So Harden is a bad seed. So you're taking him and putting him with a team that had a bad seed. And then you're taking the bad seed from Philadelphia and putting them with the Nets. I'm sorry. If you got weeds in your garden, you got weeds in your garden. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I still think it's going to come down to us. I really do. And one of the things you guys and your producer, whatever you call him tonight, convinced me last year is I got to step back and look at the whole big picture, because last year I was Mr. Negative. We've got a great team and a great coach, a great system, and we got to just let it play out.
They have the best player in the league, and that tends to help. And I think, to your point with the Nets and the Sixers, I think they basically remain status quo. Thanks for the call, Dick. If James Harden would have went elsewhere, or if Ben Simmons would have gone elsewhere, then you would say, well, James Harden was never going to go elsewhere for one. So it was really Ben Simmons that we're looking at. If he went somewhere else, Portland, let's say, you would look at that and say, well, what do they get for him? Like, maybe you get other nice pieces, but if you're telling me we're a three-headed monster and it's Joel Embiid, one of those three heads is Tobias Harris and the other is not a superstar, I'm sorry. I don't have a whole lot of faith in that team. The Nets, I still maintain as long as they had those three guys, I'm extremely worried about them. Now, Ben Simmons is going to help their defense. Seth Curry is going to get a lot of open looks. But, look, I know Kyrie is optimistic that things will change. You want to know how things will definitely change? Get the jab in your arm, you know? But if Kyrie is still a part-time player, and who knows when Ben Simmons is going to be ready to play, by the way, that's putting an awful lot on Kevin Durant. So the Nets are still a good team. They're still in the conversation. But these two teams just kind of traded problems. It's still the Bucks and the Heat that are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. Injuries can obviously have a lot of say in that and can change things. But to me, it's still those two teams. And if you're the Bucks, if you're the Sixers, if you're the Heat, you want a path. No disrespect here, but you want a path that includes the Bulls, the Cavs, the Raptors. Like, give me as many of those teams as possible. Even if the Bulls finish with the best record in the East, great. We'll shoot for four then, I guess. If the Cavs finish third and the Bucks drop to sixth, maybe suboptimal, but yeah, if your first round matchup is the Cavs, I want to play teams. If the postseason has taught us anything the last few years, I want to play those teams that don't have a track record of winning and they're experiencing the playoffs for the first time. Think of how the Bucks fared. Yeah, they made the conference finals, and then they lost four games in a row in the finals. The Jazz, as we've just touched on, have gone through that. Even the Warriors, you know, you point to, well, Golden State did it. Not really. I mean, it was still a process for the Warriors. They were in the playoffs a couple of years. They reached the conference finals, or the semifinals, I believe. And they finally broke through. It wasn't the first year. It never happens like that. Memphis is great. Memphis could be the team that defies that. But in the East, give me a path that includes the Bulls, the Cavs, the Raptors, whoever those teams are. So that's going to be the most interesting part about April, and it's going to make it more interesting than it typically is. I think the month of March, is going to be absolutely loaded for the Bucks, obviously with the schedule that they have, but that's where the intensity is really going to pick up with those games and with the importance of those games. Again, 14 games played in March. 9 of them are on the road. And here are the games. Your 5 home games are the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, the Atlanta Hawks, who are and will be a playoff team, the Chicago Bulls, and then the Washington Wizards. So of the 5 home games, there's really one team that's they've already kind of waved the white flag and they're out of it. Your road games, you have the Thunder on there. You have, that's it. The Sacramento Kings are an improved team now, by the way. They're probably not a playoff team. Maybe they will be in the play-in tournament. But that's it. The road games, the Bulls, the Warriors, the Jazz, the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, the Sixers, the Nets. And by the way, the Sixers and the Nets are back-to-back games at the end of the month. So March is going to be absolutely loaded, and that's where the intensity is really going to crank up for this team. But as we mentioned, where do you want to finish in the Eastern Conference? What would the path be with the standings if the season were to end today? We'll dive into that. And also with the trade deadline and with that big trade, James Harden and Ben Simmons swapping places. Oh, by the way, we had our All-Star draft earlier today, which presented a moment of humor with one of the captains being Kevin Durant, who had a difficult choice to make. We'll give you that recap after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Hi, this is John Neal.
My son is so embarrassed.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Disappointing loss in Phoenix. The more disappointing news is the injury to Pat Connaughton. In layman's terms, broken bone on his shooting hand. It is the ring finger metacarpal.
So that is, again, emphasizing, that's why we're sad today. It's not about the loss to Phoenix, not about a kind of a crappy end of it, otherwise really, really good road trip.
Gordon Hayward, I believe, was the most recent player to have this injury. And that was 2 years ago. He had the broken bone, exact same injury. This was his left hand, which is not his shooting hand, but broken fourth metacarpal. It is known as... Do you know this?
I'm about to.
It is known as the boxer's fracture.
Oh, sure. That makes sense, I guess.
And it is often treated with a splint for 3 weeks. So 3 weeks in the splint, and then you go through the rehab. So he's going to be able to do his cardio and keep all that up. It's just my concern is it doesn't seem good that it's occurring on the shooting hand. What do you want to do here? Do you want to do the All-Star Draft, or do you want to do the absolutely ridiculous, ever-changing standings and projections according to the 538?
Do your projections first, then we'll end with the draft because it's funny.
So we've talked about this in the program before. The 538, regardless of what you think of them, they do their model. This is called the Raptor model, where they take into account player ratings. Now, there's no tiebreakers here. This is just, hey, by our player ratings and by these forecast models, this team is at this many wins. They should finish with this many wins. And they do dive into, here's what we project based off the outcome and the players that they have. Here's what we project their net rating will be and all that. So no real change here. The Phoenix Suns remain ahead of the class, projected to win 64 games. The top three records are all projected to come from the Western Conference, and that's what we currently have with the Suns, the Warriors, and the Grizzlies. But on to the Eastern Conference, because that's where the most important is. The Miami Heat are still projected to win the East, the regular season, at 53-29, which is up just a bit from the last time we checked in on this. But the Heat are projected to finish with the best record in the East. Number two is still the Bucks. They have the Bucks projected at 52 wins. Now, the Bucks are currently 35-22, so 538 has the Bucks projected to go 17-8 the rest of the way. Third, they have the 76ers, also projected to win 50 games at 50-32. So probably a little bit of a grace period with James getting into the mix. By the way, did you see James is going to wear number one for the 76ers?
Really? Okay.
Single digits with players that maybe have to go a size up in jersey size. Oh, it never really looks good. I'm just going to say that. But the 76ers, they have projected there. Here's where it gets absolutely crazy. Who do you think the 538 has projected to finish fourth in the East? They have the Heat, the Bucks, and the Sixers, 1-3.
Oh, the Bulls?
Nope.
The Cavs?
Nope.
Who? The Nets?
Nope.
What?
The Boston Celtics.
I was going to say that.
Have shot up the charts, projected for 49 wins.
Wow.
They have the Cavs projected fifth. They have the Raptors projected sixth. They have your Chicago Bulls projected seventh in the play-in tournament. The Nets are projected eighth. Hawks and Hornets in that order. So under this, that would mean our play-in tournament would be Bulls versus Nets and Hawks versus Hornets.
Oh, man, the NBA is salivating on that.
So let's go ahead and project. Hawks versus Hornets. Who wins that one-game matchup?
Ooh, oh, man. I probably have to give it to the Hornets. begrudgingly, but I would.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you. I'll say the Hornets too. They have the play-in tournament experience from last year.
Yeah, right.
Hornets, Bulls versus Nets. Who wins that game? All right, you're going to
plead the fifth.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. I'll say the Nets, but the Bulls are still alive. Then,
sure.
They play the Hornets. I'm going to say the Bulls win that game.
Yeah, correct.
So the Nets would be seventh. The Bulls would be eighth. So that would mean Heat versus Bulls and Bucks versus Nets.
Wow.
Are your 1-8 and 2-7. 3-6 would be the Sixers and the Raptors, and 4-5 would be Celtics and the Cavaliers. If you're the Heat and the Bucks, you're thinking, wait a minute. What? Why are we penalized for finishing with the two best records? Why didn't we do this differently and finish third and fourth? We could have got the friggin' Raptors and the Cavs here.
Yeah, really.
And oh, by the way, this is updated after the game, too. So this isn't after the trade deadline. This is after the games played tonight, including the loss the Bucks had to the Suns. They have the Phoenix Suns with the best shot of any team in the league reaching the finals, a 38% chance of reaching the NBA Finals. Second on that list is the Bucks at a 35% chance. Here's where you make me a little skeptical of these models. The team that their model has with the third best chance of reaching the NBA Finals is the Boston Celtics. The Bucks, according to this Raptor model, have the best chance of winning the finals, a 22% chance. And again, Suns a 19% chance. The Boston Celtics a 17% chance. No other team has anywhere close to that. All of those teams are twice as good odds as any other team.
If these come true, the ashes that NBA Twitter will be left in.
If the Celtics all of a sudden go on a run where they're getting there, you heard it here first. We'll wrap up the show next, and the moment you cannot miss, the absolute tough decision for Kevin Durant and how he played it. We'll get you up to speed after this. It's Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
The only star draft. Kevin Durant and LeBron James were the captains. They selected their teams with the starters and then went on to the reserves. As you can imagine, this gets a little awkward.
I'm going to need some size for sure. Yeah. I'm going to need some size and some defense in the interior.
Yeah.
Especially with.
I think we should establish that there are only two players on the board right now.
Just going to add, yeah.
There's two players, Rudy Gobert and James Harden.
Right.
Giannis and LeBron James
playing such
great basketball this year. I need somebody to offset that, so I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert.
I agree.
That worked out nicely for you.
That worked out nicely.
I mean, you can't let people run through the lane and dunk all the time. Ask somebody defending back there.
Hey, let's not check us. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's when somebody won't out, you let them go. Don't let them come back. I'm with you, KD.
That's why I cut my hair off. I was like, I'm gone.
Kevin Durant kept a straight face during this.
Still has
LeBron James is covering his face because he's laughing. And Kevin Durant is just no selling. The moment of the draft.
So James Harden goes to
LeBron James
as the final selection.
In the money line.
Of the All-Star draft.
Here it comes.
Shaq.
Is he hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played. What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He missed the last three with a hammy.
At this moment, even Kevin Durant lost it and cracked
and
the smile.
He's sheepishly looking around because there are people in the room with him, and he can't take it. So good. So
Charles Barkley saying what we were all thinking. The All-Star Game is 1 week from Sunday. The Bucks will be heavily represented at the Skills Challenge with the Adetokunbo brothers, with Giannis and Chris in the All-Star Game itself as well. But three games to take care of before that All-Star break, including a showdown, we think, with James Harden and the 76ers, their final game before the break. Their next game, though, is going to be Monday at home against the Portland Trail Blazers. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when we get set on the Bucks Radio Network. My thanks to Greg and Max for producing the show and all of you for hanging out for the last hour. Talk to you Monday night with more Bucks Talk. We